Good evening. Welcome to our City on a Hill podcast. I'm Pastor Dan Alea, and I'm here with Pastor Benji. I'm here with my wife, Julie, and we're here to bless you with the Word of God this evening. As you know, we're here to encourage the remnant. We're here to build up the remnant. We're here to call the remnant. Yes. So, because God always has a remnant, and it's time right now. It's past time for the remnant to stand up and take their rightful place in this dark, dark world. But not just this dark world, in this day where the church is so, so messed up and so deceived, it's time for the remnant to stand up. As I said, I'm Pastor Danny. I'm so glad you're here and able to be with us. And at the end of what we're doing, we'll let you know other opportunities you have to come and either watch us or come and be here at the City on the Hill with us. But we want to get to business this evening. So, Julie, what is at least our first? We'll see how far we go with this one. What's our first topic for tonight?
Well, you actually brought it up in just a little piece of what you were saying. You said the church today is so deceived. Who is deceiving the church? That's what the topic for today is, the devil, the enemy. What do we do about it? What do we do about him? Is there something? How much can we do? What are we capable of doing to better our own relationship with the Lord and our own walk as remnant people? That's what we want to talk about.
Let me just kind of talk for a moment or two, and then I'll let you guys read any scriptures you have, and then we'll get into a deeper discussion here. But just let me just kind of open it up and just say, number one, we know that God is real. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Yes.
But at the antithesis of that is the forces of darkness. And, if you don't understand that the forces of darkness, the devil, and the hordes of darkness, that they are real, then you are, well, I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say to you if you are so deceived that you don't understand that the devil is real. It's not just some theory out there of light and darkness. No, the devil is real, and he actively seeks to devour. The Bible actually uses that word. It says devour. The enemy actively seeks to devour the things and the people of God, and he will do whatever he needs to do to try to deceive. The Bible says even the elect, if he can get the elect, meaning those people that are the what we would consider those closest to the things of God, even the elect he wants to try to deceive to defeat the plan of God. So again, I don't feel it's necessary to really talk too much about, let's prove the devil. If you don't understand the devil is real and that his plan is against the things of God, then I've got some other podcasts I could probably recommend for you, that because it's not this one, because the devil is real.
The reason Jesus came in the first place was to destroy the works of the devil. There's actually a verse right here that mentions that.
If you don't understand that, then again, I don't know what to tell you. So let's just move on from that. Let me just give a brief understanding of how the devil works. Jesus said the devil is a liar, and in fact, he's the father of lies. In other words, lying emanates and originates with the devil. Even going back from the beginning of time, where the devil lied to himself and said, "I need to take the throne of God." The devil is a liar, and not just we use that word lie, but lying also means deception. It means confusion. It means whatever the enemy can do to try to stymie God's people from doing and following the work and the word of God in its purest form. He'll do whatever he can do, but the devil is a liar. And everything the devil does emanates from his lying tongue. Now, again, I know you're going to read some scriptures, and we're going to talk, and I might talk about this again. But I am a believer, and I believe the word of God backs this up over and over and over and over again, that God doesn't lose.
Yes.
God doesn't lose. When God finds a people, a covenant, a blood covenant people, when he finds a blood covenant people that follows the blood covenant plan of God, and again, I believe it's so important, I wrote a book about it. That's how important I believe it is. I'm not talking about salvation. Salvation gets you into the door. Jesus is the door. It gets you into the door. But I'm talking about a people that follow that blood covenant plan the same way Abraham did. When God finds that, then they walk in victory. They walk in victory over the forces of darkness.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean the forces of darkness are not there. That doesn't mean that they've just disappeared. They walk in victory over them, but that doesn't mean that they're just gone. No, we still have to walk out the victory that's been won for us on the cross. And that's an important Amen. Thing that we have to understand. Christ did win the victory. Christ put his foot on the neck of the serpent and said, I'll take those. I'll take the keys. You're not in control anymore. You have no place anymore. Now, there's going to come a time where that's going to be so lived out in God's people that the devil will no longer have a place. Mm-hmm. He will no longer be able to lie and deceive and confuse and cheat God's people. And I pray to God we're coming to that time quickly. But I do say it's going to come because God finds a group of people, a blood covenant remnant people that have decided that they're going to be a supernatural people, because you can't fight the devil in the flesh. You can't fight the devil because you're thinking something. You can't fight the devil because you
want it so bad.
Exactly. You're fighting the devil. You can only defeat and live out the victory that Christ has given us when we become spirit creatures. When we stop looking at the flesh, in fact, when we stop looking at it, is what Paul said, and start looking at the unseen. When we become spirit, supernatural creatures in every way possible, then the devil will have no control. He only has any say in our lives because of our minds. Our minds are that's where he works. The Bible makes it very clear. He works in our minds. But when we put our minds in their place and become spirit creatures, that's the reason why Paul said things like I just said, where he said, don't even look. Don't even look at the what you can see. When we become spirit creatures, and the devil has lost. He's lost. And even things like sickness, disease, and tormenting spirits, those things are defeated when we become spirit creatures. But again, you can't just say, okay, I'm a spirit creature. It is a blood covenant you walk out with God, and you climb. That's why we call it here, we call it climbing the mountain. You've got to climb the mountain. And the higher you go, the more you begin to see the devil has no power over you. He wants to lie to you. He wants to cheat you. He wants to deceive you. He wants to confuse you as you're climbing the mountain.
He wants to discourage you.
Exactly. Because he doesn't want you to climb, because he knows the higher you climb, the less power he has over your life. But you got to do it. And you got to say, no, devil, that's a lie. The sickness is a lie. The discouragement is a lie. The depression is a lie. It's a lie, and it feels so overwhelming. But I know if I climb the mountain, those things have to go because Christ has given me the victory. You have to put the devil in the place that he belongs, which is as a liar. Mm-hmm. That's why Jesus said he's the liar, he's a liar, and the Father. Lies originate with him. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Well, that's kind of a big, long opening. I guess we'll call that more than an opening. But what do you have for us today?
I've got some scriptures to read that I'd like, want for you to expound on. But before I do that, I want to say one of the biggest deceptions surrounding all of this that the devil has brought over the church world is that there's very little that we can do, that the arena is only for the fighting is between God, Jesus, and the devil. And that, like the scripture that you said, about that Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan.
People don't want to engage. Let me just say this. Number one, and again, I'm not going to take the time to read all the scriptures. You all have Bibles, I hope, and you can go and read it yourself. But this is what the Bible says. It says Christ died, lived, he died, and he was resurrected. And then it says after he was resurrected, he went back up to the Father. And then it says he did this. What does it say he did next? He sat down. He sat down. Mm-hmm. And when someone sits down, what does that mean? It means they're what? They're done. They're done. Jesus did what he was going to do. He did it. The Bible says that we now are Christ on this earth. We are the ones living out his power and his authority. And again, I could take the time that this is not the time to do it. Actually, because I had no idea what we were going to talk about today. So I could go and look up the scriptures, or you could go look up the scriptures. But you got to understand, Christ went and he sat down because he was finished. Why was he finished? Because he's got a church to do it now. He has a people, a church that is supposed to live out his victory and his power and his authority. He has a church that is supposed to go and bind the works of darkness, bind the demons of hell. He has a church that is supposed to go and do what he did, and not only what he did, but what he said. He said, you'll do greater things than I did. You'll even do greater things than I did. So Christ came as an example. He made the way and opened the door for us, but now the rest of it is our job. He sat down. He's finished. And what you said was, it's something done. A lot of people think it's something done on a spiritual, cosmic level. And that's not completely wrong. Right. But it's we're the ones that do it. That's why we have to be spirit people. We have to be supernatural creatures. Because as long as you are thinking like a flesh person, then you can't defeat the enemy. You can't walk in anything that Christ gave you. You can't walk in it as long as you are thinking like a flesh person. You have to think and live as a supernatural spirit being. That's the only way to defeat the works of darkness. And again, the devil, I've said this recently in our service, the devil wants to, again, lie and make the things of the flesh seem so big. I gave the example of, just right in the middle of we were trying to prepare for our sacred assembly, and I was telling everyone, this is a spiritual thing. We need to be spiritual. And I said, the devil's going to come. He's going to make you stub your toes. He's going to make you, hit your finger with a hammer because he wants you thinking about the pain in your flesh. And we've got to do whatever we need to do to say, God, whatever's going on in my life, lift me to that spirit level until I've got so much authority in the spirit level so that I can cast those things out of my life. But Lord, lift me to the spirit level. Take me to where I don't even pay attention to the things in the flesh anymore. And I know it sounds ridiculous because no one's talking about it. But that's how you defeat the works of darkness. You got to get past all the flesh stuff. You got to become a spirit being to defeat the works of darkness. Praise God. Go ahead.
And one more point, Christians spend so much time they get on their knees and they ask the Lord for help or intervention in circumstances, in sicknesses, in things that are happening. And then, you know, they get up and they walk away and they choose to believe that if it doesn't happen, then that just means it's the will of God for it not to happen. And they've formed a whole theology around that, I'll bring it to the Lord and then I'll just leave it there. And, you know, if it doesn't happen, if the sickness doesn't go away, then it's God's will. But these scriptures that I'm about to read, and of course, there's so many more in the Bible, but they put the weapons in our hands by the strength and the might of Christ. And we have to remember that, and we have to get on the offensive and the defensive both, and know that we have to engage in this through the power of Christ.
Before you read the scriptures, just let me just add this. The reason they don't know how to defeat the works of darkness, the reason sickness has power over their lives, the reason they're not seeing the super... Listen, we're seeing the supernatural here at the City on the Hill.
Oh, yes. Every day.
And let me just tell you this. We're nowhere near where we want to be. But we're seeing the supernatural here at the City on the Hill. It guides our life. Everything we do is decided by the prophetic at these altars here and by the supernatural. The reason you talked about someone who sits and begs and begs and begs and they never receive it and they say, well, it just must be God's will. No, it's not. Sickness is never is never something that God wants for your life. I say that boldly. You can argue. If you want to argue about it, then you can just go and be sick. God never wants sickness. I don't believe that.
Right.
I don't believe that. But the reason people can't escape the things of darkness is because they don't understand this most important thing is that God has a plan. And his plan doesn't change. It has never changed. And it is very specific. It is a very specific plan and way that he has given to get out of the things of the devil and to stay out of the things of the devil, to defeat the things of the devil, and to walk in victory over the things of the devil. It is very specific. Jesus said it this way. He said, wide is the way to destruction, and there are many who find it. He said, and narrow, confined, it means very constricted, is the way that leads to life. He said, wait a minute, and there are few who find it. Boy, that's a powerful scripture. Mm-hmm. That's a powerful scripture. Jesus said that there's going to be many that are going to come and knock on the door, and they're going to say, Lord, let us in. We prophesied for you. We did miracles. We did all these things for you. And Jesus said, I'm going to say, I never knew you. You see, knocking on the door is not enough. It's not enough to get on your knees and knock on the door. But God, I prayed. It's not enough. God has a plan. We call it here his blood covenant plan. We call it here climbing the mountain. That's what we call it. And if you don't stick to that very specific plan, then I really don't know what to say to you. And the devil does anything and everything he can to get people off of that plan. There are churches filled with tens of thousands of people that the devil has sold a bill of goods to about that plan. He has given them alternative plans. He has skewed the plan. He has misinterpreted the plan. He has done all types of things to the plan. But you see, that's the beauty of the plan. It can't be changed. Mm-hmm. It can't be misinterpreted. There is no alternative routes. There is a specific plan. And the specific plan does not end when you say, Lord, will you come into my heart? That's where the plan begins. Mm-hmm. That's where it begins. You go through the door. Why do you think Jesus is called the door? Do you go through a door to stop? No, you go through a door to get to where you're going.
Right.
You go through the door to begin. He said, I'm the door. I am the beginning of your life. And so if you don't understand that the plan cannot be changed, a lot of people, I don't know, they might call it different things, but really what I do when I get up here and I minister, it's me trying to reveal by the Spirit of the Lord the plan to people. That's really what I'm called to. When it was spoken over me years ago that God had given me the gift of revelation, that's really what it is. It's helping people to see the plan. And even those that have been with God the longest and the most, and even some that consider themselves the most accomplished are the furthest away from the plan. And I've often said, it's actually sometimes seems to be easier to get the plan across to people that know nothing.
Right.
Yes.
Because they've not gone off onto all these extra tributaries of what they think the plan is.
And on that note, if you are actively trying to go against the idea of the plan and, you know, the idea of Jesus being the door, regardless of what you're, how much you're talking about Jesus, how much you think you're prophesying and praying, if you're doing those things, then that is where what we started talking about, the devil and his deception, is at work.
Well,
that's where it is.
And you know, one of the things I say almost every time I minister is that the good is the enemy of the supernatural. And most Christians today, by the millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of Christians, they've got this idea of these good things that show that they're a Christian. I don't even know what to call them, but there's things that they've built up in their mind of, well, this is a good thing. This shows that I've got the Lord living in me. But you got to understand that those in the other book that I wrote, we call them the gray areas of life. The devil uses those gray areas, those things that are good, that are human good. He uses them to keep us out of the supernatural. He uses them to keep us from climbing the mountain. He uses those things to actually give a place for the devil to bring deception into our lives. And I would encourage everyone, I would encourage you to understand not only is the devil real, but he's working against you to find and to seek and to go after the things of God. And the only way to ensure that you're going to do it is to say, God, I'm putting all the good things down. I'm putting all the good things, the things that sound good, down. I'm closing my eyes to the natural, and I'm coming after the supernatural. The supernatural. That's what I'm going after, God. And again, we could talk for hours about that. It's the whole reason why we wrote the handbook, the remnant handbook that we wrote, is so people can go back and look and say, oh, this is what he means. This is what he's talking about. So I want to stick to our subject. I know you've got some scriptures to read for us today.
2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
Well, we've kind of hit on all that, but that really kind of
encapsulates
this. Number one, read that first part. That starts over again.
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh.
Keep reading.
For the weapons of our warfare.
Stop. What does it say? The weapons of Christ's warfare? No, it says the weapons of our warfare.
Yes.
Of our warfare. And go ahead, read it one more time. Start over again.
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh.
Now, that's really what I was trying to explain. We're here walking in the flesh, but that's what the devil wants you to focus on. He wants you focused on the flesh. You want to know how you get your body healed? Not by focusing on it, but by battling in the spirit world, mm-hmm. by becoming a supernatural creature.
Amen.
All of a sudden, when you become a supernatural creature, your body has to line up with that. Your body has to line up, and the disease can't be there anymore. Mm-hmm. That's why when I pray over people, when I anoint them and pray over them, I'm confident God's going to heal them every time. I'm confident because I don't battle in the flesh. I battle in the spirit world. And you can't do that if you don't start with where we started, by saying, God, I am in this blood covenant, and I'm going to follow the tenets of the blood covenant. I'm going to walk in this blood covenant like Abraham, and I'm going to do what Abraham did. You say, but we're in Christ. Yeah, but the Bible says that Christ is the seed of Abraham.
Yes.
And then it goes on in Galatians, it says, if you are Christ, you're Abraham's seed. Mm-hmm. You have to do what Abraham did. You do it through Christ Jesus. You're only allowed into that covenant because of Jesus. But you have to do what Abraham did. And Abraham followed the blood covenant.
Yes.
He followed it. And if you don't do it, then you can't become a spirit being. And this says here, it says, you got to understand, you got to talk the way Paul was trying to talk when he says, listen, you're fighting and you're failing because you're doing it in the flesh. He says, you got to understand your weapons are not fleshly. They're in the supernatural realm. And he says, there's a battle and it's your battle, but God has given you the weapons. He's given you the ability to defeat these things, but it's only because of the supernatural. Go ahead, pick it up. Keep reading.
Mm-hmm. It says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God.
Now, again, and then the last part says taking every thought.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? That's, again, saying exactly what I was just saying, but without reading the scripture. The devil uses your mind to keep you from victory. He uses even those things. We put good things in our minds. We settle arguments by thinking of, oh, well, this is a good answer for that. Your good answers in your mind will never give you victory.
Right.
The things that you come up with in your mind will never give you victory. The things that are going on, the devil toys with those things. He uses those arguments. He uses those thoughts that you have against you to keep you from getting into the spirit world, to keep you. And you say, but Pastor, I just can't even conceive of the spirit world. That's why God gave a plan. He said, this is my plan, and it is very specific, and it is very, it only works under the prophetic anointing of God. It only works in a certain way. But it's very specific so that you don't have to think about it.
Right.
So you don't have to come up with it. So you don't have to figure it out. But the devil comes and he uses our minds against us.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul said, you want victory? Let's start with binding those arguments in those mind, in your mind. Bind those things that, those thoughts that rise up against the plan of God. That's really what it's saying, is that we come up with all these good things, all these ideas, all this stuff in our mind.
Well, maybe if I do this. Well, maybe if I go here. Well, maybe if I
listen,
do such and such.
That's not talking about porn. That's not talking about
evil things.
Yeah, that's talking. He's talking to Christians. Now, not that Christians don't get into those things. They do as much as anyone. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is he's talking to Christians, and he's telling Christians there, listen, the devil is using your mind against you, and you're coming up with all these alternative plans. But if you stick to the one and only anointed plan of God that has never changed, and you take authority over the things of your mind, and you become a spirit being, then those things have to be defeated against you. And even your bodies are going to be healed. Your life is going to change. Even your finances are going to change because you're opening up the plan of God into your life.
It says bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Obedience.
It's the plan.
The word obedience.
It's the plan.
You obey.
There's a plan that God has. And if you understand, you see, we fight that there's a plan. That's really where the devil fights God's people. We fight that there's a plan. We say, okay, I can dig confessing my sins to the Lord. Okay, I can do that. But I'm going, God is giving me a life. He's giving me a brain. He's giving me, and he expects me to go and use it the best of my ability. That's a bunch of ridiculousness. No, God expects you to live according to his strict, boy, Christians don't like that word. I can hear Christians right now, strict? There's nothing strict. But God has a very strict and narrow, I'm just repeating Jesus, a very narrow plan. And again, what does he say? When he talks about the doors, he said there are few who find it. Why? Because you've got to surrender to the notion of, God understands. No, God doesn't understand. God requires. Mm-hmm. And that's really what, I don't remember if it was last Sunday or last Wednesday. You go watch my message from, I guess it was maybe last Wednesday. I don't remember when it was. But you got to understand that God requires. God requires. And I guess maybe it was a devotion. I talked about Jesus himself said, he said, if you want to be forgiven, you have to forgive. In other words, God requires you do something. And I said this, I said, if God requires that, then don't you think that there's other things that God requires as well? But we've totally closed off that part of the Bible. We've totally closed that off. And so the devil runs haywire in our lives. You got to understand, God requires. He has a plan. And he requires we stick to that plan. And if we stick to that plan and we climb the mountain and we become those spirit beings, and we do it by taking every thought into captivity and saying, no, my life is going to be obedient to the plan of God, then immediately you begin to go on that supernatural journey to where eventually you get to that place where signs and wonders, supernatural miracles are happening. The devil has no control over your body anymore, and the blessing of the Lord is upon your life. You have another scripture?
Yes, I want to get into Ephesians 6, where Paul talks about the whole armor. It says, "Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." So well, he gets very specific.
It is very specific. And you know, again, a couple of things. First of all, you know, this goes back to some of the early things, first things you learn when you go after your theology degree and you're learning. I can remember sitting and learning the Greek language and everything. It's one of the first things they take you to, and they use this scripture and they point out how it's actually a offensive position. It's not just a defensive position. It's an offensive position of someone that is standing over the enemy, ready to do battle and ready to put the enemy in their place. It's actually an offensive position that's talking about. And you put the armor on. Obviously, there's a level of protection, but you put the armor on so that you can go into the battle. You put the armor on so that you go in and say, well, they can't get to me because I've got the armor on. Read that, the last part of it again.
We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places.
You know, some of you, I know you and I will remember the books. Was it Frank Peretti who wrote the books? And those books did a good thing, but also a bad thing. Those books were talking about the reality of the spirits. It was this present darkness. Is that what it was?
Yes.
And it was a novel form, but it was describing the demons that are at work, which is good for people to understand. But it almost made it in some way almost like a cartoon television show for people. It almost made it to where it's a fleshly thing. Let me just tell you something. The demonic things out there that are at work are real. And let me just say this to you. I could not even describe the horrificness of the darkness and the evil. It is beyond things that the flesh can even understand. But that's why you have to battle them in the spirit world. Mm-hmm. And you've got to understand they're there. You've got to understand that they're working against you. You have to understand that they will use anything and everything they can to get into your life. They will use television. They will use shows. They will use commercials. They will use anything on the internet. They will use your neighbor. They will use your spouse. They will use your children. They will use your work. They will use your school. They will use anything and everything to influence your life in any way they can. And if you don't understand that there is a very specific, the Bible calls it the highway of holiness.
Right.
If you don't get on the highway of holiness, and you say, but Pastor, on that highway of holiness, those people, they won't come with me. Too bad. But Pastor, those things that I like to do, I can't do because of the highway of holiness. Too bad. But Pastor, they're going to laugh at me and they're going to call me things because they said I just stay alone on the highway of holiness. Too bad. If you're going to get away from the works of darkness so they don't have any influence over you, you can only do it on the highway of holiness. Mm-hmm. Holiness by its very nature means you're separate. It means you're separated, you're apart. And I know this is so against everything that people are taught today. People are taught today to go head first into the things of the world, all under the guise of ministry. But how about we get on the highway of holiness so that God can do the supernatural through us?
Right.
And then through that supernatural, I guarantee you, your ministry will be 10,000 times better than what it is right now. We've got to understand those works of darkness will do anything. And that's what the Apostle Paul was trying to get across to them. He was trying to say, do you understand that there's a heavenly host of darkness that you've got to both protect yourself from, but you also have to battle against? You have to go against them, and you have to pull them down, tear them down, and you have to stand against them.
Yes.
And if you're not doing that, if you're not standing against the works of darkness, then they are defeating you in your life, whether you know it or not.
It says so that you can withstand in the evil day. And if you don't recognize that it's an evil day, then you're already a part of the defeat.
that's exactly right. I know we need to be getting it to a close. We're getting kind of far along here. But if you don't understand, first of all, that God has a plan, and then second, that the hordes of darkness are there to try. See, here's what you got to understand. They're not necessarily trying to defeat the plan. The devil can't defeat the plan. He's trying to keep you from the plan.
Right, right.
He's trying to use your mind to keep you from the plan. That's what he's trying to do. And he'll put things in front of your eyes. He'll whisper things in your ears. No, it might not necessarily even be, it might not be a demon standing here. He'll use the lips of your spouse. Let's be real. He'll use the lips of a sister, a brother, maybe even a child. He'll use whatever he needs to use to whisper to you until you close it off. And I'm saying some hard things, but I'm trying to get God's remnant to understand we have authority over these things and the ability by the Spirit of the Lord to defeat them, but not if you don't stick to the plan. You have to stick to the plan. Was there anything else really quick that you wanted to read before we close today?
Really, those were the main scriptures.
Praise the Lord. Well, then let's close with this. I actually had it open to read. I'm not going to read it, though. But if you want to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you read about Jehoshaphat and the people going to battle. And the word of God says the prophet of God. See, it's always got to start with the prophetic word.
Right.
And the
prophet
that's part
of the plan.
God, he stood up and he said, listen to me, Jehoshaphat. Listen to me, people. He said, don't fear. Now, listen to what he said. He said, the battle is the Lord's, but you're going to go out. You're going to go, and he said, go position yourself. He said, go out, position yourself. You see, you're not going to escape the battle. God's going to give you the victory if you follow the plan. But you're not going to escape the battle. You got to go into the battle and bring the power of God into the circumstance, into the situation. And go and read. It's such a powerful scripture. Go and read it of what God did. It's almost like you can see the spiritual battle at play. Such a powerful scripture. Go read 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Well, praise the Lord. Benji, tell us where our services are, where they can join us.
Yes. We have our regular Sunday morning, 11 a.m. services, Wednesday night, Calling the Remnant, 7 p.m. services. Those are available in person at the City on a Hill Church in Loganville and also on our online social platforms. Those include Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, City on a Hill Church, or Coa Church. We also have online functions going on those platforms, including devotions every Monday, Thursday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. online. Remnant 101 with me Tuesdays at 8 p.m. online. Calling the Remnant podcast every Friday at 8 p.m. online. Those podcasts are also available on Spotify, wherever else you get your podcasts, and tell Siri and Alexa to play the podcast very simply. We have so many opportunities for you to hear the Word of God and what God is doing with His Remnant and opportunities to become a part of the Remnant. And please, you get the chance, come join us here at the City on a Hill Church.
Praise the Lord. Well, you know, I think it's pretty obvious when I say this. We're not a normal church. We don't try to be a normal church. We actually are excited to say that we are not just different, we are even more different than the most different. That's what we claim to be here, because we believe that's what the Remnant is all about. In fact, we don't even like to necessarily call ourselves a church. We say we're a heritage. We're an anointed heritage that's bringing about the will of God on this earth. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Maybe you are sick. You need to come and let the Lord heal your body.
Yes, yes.
You say, well, I can just sit here and let it happen. Well, then you could be like the woman with the issue of blood who just sat in her bed bleeding to death year after year after year. No, you need to come to where the anointing is. Come and let God heal your body. If you've made the decision, well, if God's going to heal me, he could do it here at my house. Well, you know, what can I say to you? You're just missing out. Come and let God heal your body. Come and let God change your life. Come and let God do it here at these altars. Come and say, God, I surrender. I surrender. There's things that was said today I don't even understand, but it touched my heart. I want to come and surrender, Lord, at these anointed altars. You see if God doesn't heal your body. You see if God doesn't change your life. God is looking for he's looking for a remnant, just like in Elijah's day. Elijah stood on the mountain alone, with all the others around him mocking him, all the prophets around him mocking him. But God was looking for a remnant. God's looking for a remnant today. Come and join us. God bless you.